You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Mike Mills and his daughter Amy Mills run a thriving Southern Illinois eatery called 17th Street Barbecue. He's in the Barbecue Hall of Fame, a four-time world champion and three-time grand world champion at the Memphis in May competition. And Amy is also the founder of OnQ Consulting, a global barbecue business resource that provides entrepreneurs and chefs with master classes and smoke tours. They have a reality TV series called Peace, Love, and Barbecue on YouTube. And that's also the title of their first book, which was nominated for a James Beard Award. Their newest, Praise the Lard, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue, is just out from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. And I'm very pleased it has brought them to our show today. Hello.
Hello. We're delighted to be here.
And before we begin, is there some barbecue lingo that I should be familiar with? Is there jargon in the trade, or do we all pretty much, home barbecue is pretty much say the same things that you might say in the restaurant, Mike?
I would say we say pretty well the same things. We're interested in the same things. Yes, it's very common, just your normal.
But there are different styles of barbecues: Texas, Memphis, Kansas City. I don't know if there's a New York City style of barbecue.
Well, I'm going to say no, there isn't, but yet there is on that part of it. It's just not that it's defined. There's basically the four types of barbecue that are defined.
I think what you're seeing here in New York City is really exciting because you have people such as Billy Durney at Hometown, who's adding some Jamaican jerk seasoning to his baby back ribs and doing lamb belly and really trying to define his own style. And those styles of barbecue that you see really all over the country and people who are adding a little flair of their own is what makes barbecue evolve and continue to be so exciting.
You have a recipe for rendering lard, but that's not the main focus of this book. So where does the title Praise the Lard come from?
Well, the title is really just a play on words. And, you know, we like to say that we're out preaching the gospel of barbecue. Barbecue is really, it's a culture and it's a community. And sort of that, you know, joyful play on words is what we're going for here.
I've always wondered about the competitions. How could somebody decide whether one delicious dish is better than another delicious dish? You've won a fair number of competitions, Mike. Do you have any secrets?
I've often wondered that same thing on some of the competitions.
I mean, there are some barbecues that are not as good as others, but I'd imagine they're not the ones who enter into the competitions.
A lot of times that's true, that they do not. But as far as telling which is the best, they have some criteria to go by as far as the doneness, the flavor,
the tenderness.
The tenderness of the meat.
But wouldn't that also depend on the cut of the meat as much as on the skill of the barbecuer?
It does, but at the same time, barbecue is normally made from a very tough type of meat, a very inexpensive, at one point in time, inexpensive cut of meat.
They're getting more and more expensive.
And it
short ribs are now expensive. They used to be the cheapest cut of meat.
Exactly. You know, between that, the brisket, I mean, it's a very poor cut of meat. And to make it edible and just absolutely fall apart and be delicious, you had to learn how to be able to cook that.
Competition barbecue is so much fun in which to participate, but it's really a game. You are looking to provide a judge with this one bite of amazing flavor, and people go to great lengths to infuse their meat and their sauce and everything that happens to that piece of meat with that flavor, because that's all they get is one chance. So it's sort of like a lottery ticket when you enter a competition.
Well, I was once invited to judge a barbecue competition, and I didn't necessarily agree with the other judges on all of the food. So that became a problem. It was kind of frustrating to me when they praised something that I thought wasn't as good as the one that I liked.
Well, that's when it came down to the score that you gave had to be of the highest in order for you to stand out. If you just gave a mediocre score, you're scoring didn't count that much, I guess I should say, as the ones that just said, oh, this is absolutely delicious.
In your introduction to your book, you write, barbecue is America's original comfort food. Tending a pit is intentional and methodical, slow and steady, stoked by conversation or contemplation. So you see it as a social experience?
I do. people got, still do today, get together and spend an enormous amount of time just sitting around the pit, talking about whatever may happen to come up, part of it being the barbecue and how that they like it, blah, 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 but also the worldly matters. It's a social time. It surely is.
It's really a time when time stands still. You can slow down a little bit, and we see that on the streets of New York during the block party when people take a breath and talk to their neighbors, enjoy their time together, and really, you know, around the pit at home or even in our restaurant.
The block party you're talking about is something you participate in, the annual Big Apple Barbecue Block Party at Madison Square Park?
Yes.
This month was its 15th.
It was.
Do you find that New Yorkers are getting enthusiastic about authentic barbecue, becoming more knowledgeable?
Oh, absolutely.
Because there was a time when you could not get any real barbecue in Manhattan because of zoning laws, because I guess you had to have a chimney that was high enough to go above the buildings, and we have very few one-story buildings in Manhattan.
that's very true as far as that part of it goes, but barbecue is a very, very important item socially. It also slows down life a lot, and of course, you know, the speed of life in New York is incredible, and to slow that down just a little bit and stop for a moment and speak to your friends and speak to the people on the street, that happens during a barbecue.
At first sight, barbecuing looks fairly easy. You just throw some meat onto a grill above a fire. So how much skill is actually required to do it right?
I'm going to tell you, anybody that pays attention to what you're doing, it's just like any job that you do. You learn the skill of how to go about doing it. But it is a low and slow process.
Well, some things cook rather quickly. Others can take a long time. Some require indirect heat. How can we know what we should be looking for in terms of temperature, charcoal choice? Should we use light versus hardwood? Should we use briquettes, or should we use that other kind of wood? What kind of cooker we should use? Should we just use charcoal, or should we use a gas burner?
Well, that's a lot of questions.
Yeah, well, I'll sit here quietly for a while.
That's quite a lot of questions. And, you know, one of the things I'm really proud of and praise the Lord is that we gave a whole sermon on smoke and barbecue tools and tips, and really what we called the gospel according to Mike Mills. And it's the lessons that I've learned at his knee and that many other people have learned while listening, you know, to him espouse barbecue knowledge. And the number one key to all of it really is fire management. You can turn out great barbecue on almost anything as long as you learn the cooker and learn what it's capable of. One thing that people don't really always know is that charcoal is a heat source and wood is for flavor. So you're using really both of them in good barbecue. You might be burning down wood to make charcoal or using charcoal. We prefer a good lump charcoal, but briquettes will work as well, just as long as they're not the match light variety.
Did they give you different flavor?
Well, the wood is what gives you different flavor.
I mean, the lump as opposed to the briquettes?
Yes, they will still give you flavor. The lump, if you have the right kind, you know, if you use something that is pure wood and not doesn't have any match light in it, so to speak, that is a pure item. But there's so much of it that is artificially added to it that it will disflavor the meat.
Then a lot of people will put wood chips into water. Sometimes they keep them a long time, and the water gets so much color that I wonder whether all the flavor hasn't drifted out
exactly.
of the wood
you
into
don't
the
really
water.
It has drifted out of
yes.
the wood.
Yes, you don't need to put the wood chips in water. You can put the wood chips or just small sticks of wood or chunks of wood right on the coals. And, you know, when we wrote our first book, you really couldn't find wood as readily as you can now. Almost any hardware store you can buy great big net bags filled with chunks of different types of wood.
We have, first of all, I should tell people that my guests are Mike Mills and Amy Mills. Their book, Praise the Lord, Recipes and Revelations from a Legendary Life in Barbecue. We have included, posted a number of recipes from the book on our website, wmyc.org. One of them is baby back ribs and magic dust. Now, this is all about dry rub?
A dry rub, yes, which is also considered a barbecue sauce, and they finally defined in language, but it is a dry assortment or a group of spices that will enhance the flavor of the meat.
So you put that on the meat before you ever put it on the grill?
I put it on at least three times during the cooking process. One time in the very beginning, very lightly. You have to build it up. If you put too much on, it cakes it and it does not adhere the flavor outright.
Correctly. What about cooking up a barbecue sauce as well? Could you do a dry rub? And then most of those barbecue sauces are really ketchup-based. Is that a good thing to mix the two?
I think that it takes the two in order to be able to have what you have. To have a barbecue, you have the meat, you have the dry rub. Later on, right towards the end of it, you put on a sauce, a wet sauce.
Mm-hmm. Do you use ketchup as its base?
Of it will be ketchup, a lot of it will be vinegar, and some of it will be mustard. Mm-hmm. But those are the items that are basically either singly and are a combination of what goes on barbecue.
You say that you once were purist with just one or two sauces on the tables at your restaurant. What's changed?
Well, what's changed really are expectations and what people expect. We have been dinged on review sites. They'll say, well, they only had one bottle of sauce on the table. People do want, they want options. We have a few sauces now that you have to ask for by name, sort of behind the counter for people in the know. And we've actually just started bottling some of our other sauces for sale as well, because variety is the spice of life, right?
And we have posted another one of your recipes, blackberry habanero sauce, on our show page at wmyc.org/lopate. So that's got to be a little hot.
Well, I'm going to tell you, yes, but you have a lot of people out there that want the spice. They want the flavor. As far as True Blue Barbecues, you're going to be sticking with the original barbecue sauces.
I'm the one who likes those fruit-based sauces.
Now, can we even talk about barbecue without talking about the sides? Posted baked beans and your recipe for tangy coleslaw on our show page.
There are certain items that just go with barbecue that you just feel like ought to be there. And, of course, the baked beans is one of them. Spicy size of beans. Ours has five different kinds of beans. You can have just one kind if you want.
Do you ever put the beans on the grill?
Absolutely. You can cook them on the grill if you want, yes.
You're really warming them. I mean, you're not.
But you're still getting some of the smokes.
Absolutely.
Smell into it.
Fill a cast iron skillet with those and put that right on next to everything else. It's really delicious.
You have, I mentioned earlier, a mini reality TV series on YouTube called Peace, Love, and Barbecue, which doesn't pit contestants against each other, but encourages collaboration.
That series.
Most pit masters don't want, I know when I'm at a barbecue grill, I don't exactly enjoy it when other people start coming by to flip things or tell me how to do it.
Well, I think the beauty of barbecue is it really is a collaborative event. And I don't think you'll find any group of people more willing to share than barbecuers. And that reality series is really based on our on-cue consulting classes and the people who came and were contestants, not contestants, but were participants, were all different barbecue restaurant owners or people who wanted to be owners. So we really talked to them in that show about the culture of barbecue, the community they had to form around what they were trying to do in order to be successful, and then, of course, some great cooking tips as well.
Now, barbecue is something I associate with the United States, although people have cooked over wood all over the world. But are we seeing U.S.-style barbecue becoming popular in other countries now?
Hugely popular. Australia, incredible. Germany, France, England, and they're all coming here to learn about it and then taking those traditions back home and putting their own spin on it.
It's incredible what is going on out there in the barbecue world.
Now, you've written two cookbooks. Is there anything more to say about barbecue?
There's always something to say about barbecue. And, you know, as long as you have people and you have food and recipes, you have opinions. So there, you will not run out of something to say.
Just one more thing before you go. You've called your book Praise the Lard. Some people are really freaked out at the thought of lard.
We've had
that. What are the positives of lard? Why should lard be used in some instances and where?
Well, we love making pie crust with lard. It will make the flakiest pie crust ever.
The Chinese also use lard in pie crusts.
In biscuits, we use it in our cornbread souffle. It really gives a deeper, earthier moistness to food, and it's very pure. There used to be only lard and pure butter before we came up with all kinds of other chemical things to add to our food. So we think a return to a pure animal fat is a good thing.
Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you, Mike Mills,
Amy Mills, their book, Praise the Lard, from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt.